some of my songs I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes him feel mellow.
Welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Today is Tuesday, January 18th, 2011. Our show tonight is the Philly beer scene. I'm your host, Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43, and my co-host is Ray Dieter from the DBA Bars. How are you, Ray?
I'm well, Jimmy. How you doing, man?
Ray, you've got a pretty interesting interview coming up with Bill Kovaletsky.
Yeah, that was a great time. We actually conducted it over at your joint, over at Jimmy's Number 43 in the East Village, and it was a really fun time. We had a few beers, and Bill's an old friend, and we had a great time.
Great, and we've got Tom Kehoe from the Yards Brewing Company and Kurt Decker from Notting Head Brewery. So this is a real, like, Philly beer scene show. Let's give a thanks to our sponsor, Beer Sessions Radio, sponsored by GreatBrewers.com. It's the site where all the beer community comes together. Check the latest updates for Beer Cloud, a mobile app, to help you locate your favorite beers and store tasting notes. GreatBrewers.com, and we're also supported by the people at the Good Beer Seal, an association of 27 New York City good beer bars. Check out GoodBeerSeal.com. During our snowy holiday break, word got to us that Bill Kovaletsky of Victory Brewing Company was going to be in New York. Sadly for me, I was out of town, but Ray was able to join Bill for a couple of beers at Jimmy's Number 43 to talk about Victory Brewing Company and the unique flavor of Philly beer culture. This interview turned out to be a great introduction for our guests today. We have Sean McCain from Victory, Tom Kehoe from Yards, and Kurt Decker from Notting Head Brewery. We're going to sit back, have a couple beers while we listen to Ray and Bill. So go to the videotape and take it away, Jack.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio. This is Ray Dieter on location at Jimmy's Number 43 over on East 7th Street in East Village. And I've got this great opportunity to sit here with Bill Kovaletsky from the Victory Brewing Company down in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. Great maker of great beer. And we're just going to have a conversation. And Bill, how you doing?
Well, Ray, I'm really happy to see you here. Yeah. You know, we're looking for Jimmy as well, but hey, we got his place, and we're good.
Jimmy who? Jimmy who?
The guy whose name is over the door. I met him.
Is he a real person? I thought he's an enigma wrapped around an illusion.
He's an enigma, but I've met him.
Now, Jimmy's not here, so I'm taking over the airwaves for a few moments. Yeah. It's a coup.
It's a radio coup.
So what's going on, Bill? One of the great things about your brewery is I always look forward to your seasonal stuff and your Christmas stuff and your old horizontal. Is that your barley wine?
Yep. And you were one of the first people that were bold enough to actually put it on cask.
I remember that.
Yeah. Very few people remember that. It's sort of a liquid mind eraser, but it's a very pleasurable one.
So and, successful.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a seasonal beer, so it's successful for a short period of time. We sort of constrain that. But, you know, it works. And it's guys like you that recognize in certain situations you can get away with pouring a really strong beer in a really seductive manner, cask, and, you know, the right people can gravitate towards it.
You know, one of the things I'm always curious about, and this is, you know, I know how I regulate my business, the bars and so forth, but as a brewer, how do you gauge how much specialty or seasonal beer to actually produce?
Wow, I didn't realize there was going to be difficult questions like that. Well, the fact of the matter is that we've got a 300-seat restaurant at our brewery. So we have this tremendous outlet that functions as a sounding board for us. Because as you know in your business, people will tell you what the heck they think after one or two pints of beer.
Oh, nobody tells bar owners anything. Customers never speak
to
us. No, never.
Yeah, you exist in a bubble, huh? Yeah. Surprise.
Nobody goes behind that golden curtain.
That golden curtain. But, okay, so it's different in Downingtown, apparently, than it is in New York. People tell us exactly what they love, what they don't love about our stuff, and, you know, we never really overproduce, and if we do, we send it to some market we don't like very much.
So do you... So is your goal to sell a lot of beer, or is your goal to like put out this incredible seasonal stuff, and then like everybody like run out of it, and everybody wants some more?
Ooh, wow, great question. Well, as a brewmaster, my goal is to make as much as the audience is willing to consume. My director of sales is always cool with the idea of like, we want to run out a little bit before that point is reached. And so I can appreciate both sides because, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a businessman as well. But the brewmaster in me says, you know, if it's delicious and people dig it, keep it flowing.
And I just want to point out to the radio audience right now that Bill is wearing a three-piece suit, and he's got a calculator right in front of him right now, and that just drives home the fact that you are a businessman first.
And looking at my laptop, Ray, I see that your numbers are down with Victory this year. We're going to have to talk about that after this.
We'll have a beer and talk about that.
All right, back to what's really going on.
So, no, I mean, that's always been a big question of mine because I deal with a lot of breweries, a lot of small breweries like you guys. Well, you're a regional brewer. How would you qualify the size of your brewery?
Size doesn't matter. We all know that.
That's my line.
You've never used that, have you?
No, never.
Okay, well, in reference to my brewery, I use it all the time.
Okay.
We will produce 60,000 barrels of beer this year. So I think by Brewers Association...
60,000 barrels of beer.
Yes.
Okay.
If you want to start doing the 60,000 barrels of beer on the wall thing, no it's going to be a long
show. But for our European listeners, how many hectoliters is that?
Eesh.
You got the laptop out.
The non-existent
laptop. I'm joking, Bill. Yeah. It's okay.
That's 82, 84.
Okay. Oh,
dozen hectoliters.
Very good. I'm impressed with that. So, okay, so what does that qualify? You're not nano.
No.
You're not micro. Or are you micro?
No, we're not micro.
Macro?
Well, you know, that actually speaks to how long you've been in this business. Because micro was a legitimate term when you and I got started. And it only represents 15,000 barrels of annual production. And so it only spoke about the volume, not about the quality. And so that term has really gone by the wayside. You know, we've got craft breweries, we've got brew pubs. If you go by the Brewers Association in Boulder, Colorado standards, we are a regional craft brewery.
Regional craft brewery. Okay. And regional.
And I don't know when. I don't know where that peters out either. I don't know.
Does regional address the distribution?
Yes.
Or does it address the amount of beer that's produced?
It addresses the distribution.
Okay, so regional means that you don't sell your beer outside of the region.
Yeah, but that's, you know, actually not all that accurate because we've got our beer in Oregon and in Southern California.
That would be
so
outside the region, Oregon, since we're here in New York City.
You're such an exclusive guy. Come
I'm
on,
not
be
an
more
exclusive
inclusive.
Guy. No, no, no. No, I love
What's
Oregon.
Wrong with people on the West Coast? We love
nothing,
them too.
Nothing.
I hear you. I'm back.
Oh, that's actually a really interesting point. Uh-huh. How does your beer sell on the West Coast?
We definitely hold our own. And part of it is the whole partnership that, you know, it's a beautiful chain. You have wholesalers that have to recognize the virtues of your products, and you have to have consumers that recognize it because marketing ain't getting it done. None of us are spending the money to try and force this upon people. So in Southern California, for instance, we work with our friends at Stone Brewing Company our beers for us. And, you know, we fit a perfect niche in their portfolio. They you know, respect what we do, and they keep that niche open. And for the accounts that make sense and our beers appear, and there's an audience that will appreciate that. So you can't go into a market anticipating, like, man, I'm going to take this away from Stone. No, that's not going to happen. It's
right. But your beers are so different. I mean, I have to say that your beer is totally, like, grounded in East Coast brewing. I mean, your hop usage, you know, the way you make your beer, it just tastes like the East Coast. It doesn't taste like, you know, grapefruit juice. It doesn't taste like lychee nuts. It tastes like, you know, I think, a really good fresh beer. And not to say there's anything wrong with lychee nuts and grapefruit juice or that kind of over the wall hopping that they do out there in that place, especially in Northern California. I mean, there's a lot to be said for that. But I'm really glad that your beer holds its own out there because it's such a different style of brewing.
Right. Well, I think therein we may have gotten to the definition of what regional craft brewery is, and that is it's a representation of a regional ideal or a regional style.
So it's defined by style, not by actual location, not by geography.
I'm going to say that right now, but okay. You know, Brewers Association doesn't say it in that in those terms.
Wow, that's I think it's a really interesting question that I'm going to look into further with other breweries. Like, you know, what is regional? Is it defined by style or is it defined by geography?
I would think in this fluid market, it's really designed or defined by a style and identity of the brewery.
Hmm. Okay, so now a question I have. So when did you guys start brewing? When did you guys open up?
Gosh, Ron and I started brewing, home brewing, in 1985. In fact, I gave him a home brewing kit in Christmas of 1985 as a gift. And we pursued that for a long time and worked for other breweries. So the answer to the question that you've asked is Victory Brewing Company started brewing in December of 1995.
Yep. Okay. So we're about a year old at DBA then.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. And it was really funny. The very first brew we did was our Victory Fest beer, an Oktoberfest-style lager that we produce year-round on draft because it works so well with the food at our place. But there was a snowstorm, a very big snowstorm, that had shut things down for about 48 hours in
that
area.
You have snow in Philadelphia?
Oh, gosh, yeah. And I have wet shoes here in New York City to prove that there is snow. So at any rate, we actually, instead of doing a single brew that day, we did a double brew because we knew we weren't going to get back to the brewery anytime soon. My wife, who is a software designer, had designed our fermentation temperature control system, and it worked perfectly. Wow. We came back 48 hours later. We had beautifully fermenting beer, and the rest is history, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm. Now, I remember we had a DBA, a Philadelphia beer event, and you guys participated in that. And that was a long time. It was like the first time there was like Philadelphia beer in New York City. And you guys came up, and what did you – I think you had the old horizontal then, too?
You know, we keep coming back to that. I think it was.
I think it was, too.
We had Milltown Mild, which is a very rare release for us, typically on cask, and Old Horizontal, but the two share the same season. So if our memories are working correctly, it would have been those two.
Now, that was great because Philadelphia is such a great beer town. I mean, you got great beer bars, you got amazing breweries, and you have the Philadelphia Beer Month now. Is it Beer Week or Beer Month now?
It feels like a month. It's a week.
It's a beer season.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'm glad you respect what's going on in Philadelphia.
Oh, I do. It's amazing.
It is a beer town. It's a very unpretentious town. It doesn't deal with pretense very well, and beer fits into so many great restaurants in such a nice dovetail manner. And our Philly Beer Week is just really
It's only a week. It seems
well,
to last a lot longer than a week.
10-day
week, but and then the hangovers, two more days. So it goes goes on and on.
Liver abuse. I mean, it's a month for your liver,
yeah,
for sure.
I have a lot of bad memories from Philadelphia Beer Weeks in the past. I look forward to more bad memories in the future.
Oh, gosh.
But so do you like brew special beers for Philly Beer Week? Like, do you try to have like your seasonals or your specialties available that week, or do you just kind of go with the flow?
Everything's special about that week. We were involved with a collaborative beer with four other Philadelphia area brewers last year, and it was only a 25 barrel batch, so it was only on draft and went quickly. You know, it's hard to be too special that week. There's the circus is in town, and the high wire act is like you just can't. You know, you can't compete with it.
One of the great things also about Philly Beer Week is that, like, it's not a competition with everybody. It's such a collaborative, like, the beer bars, the breweries, everybody knows each other. You know, you guys all travel the same circles, and you're all good friends, and it's not, like, a competitive thing. Nobody's trying to outsell or outmaneuver somebody else. There's events, like, at all these joints, all these brew pubs, all these great bars and restaurants down there. And it's just like you just step into Philadelphia off the train from New York, and it's just beer heaven or hell, depending on
how you put it. Well, you know, that's up to the individual, how they approach it. But, yeah, I mean, you know, if I were the Philadelphia Tourism Board or whatever the heck it would be, I would say this is a perfect commercial for come on down to Philly Beer Week.
It's great. I mean,
it's the first week of June, and, my gosh, there is no pretense. There is tons of camaraderie. There's tons of collaboration, and you will stumble into so many fantastic beer experiences.
Yeah, my big problem is, like, it's beer heaven when I get there and I start drinking and, you know, and have go to a beer dinner at Tom's at Beth Monk's, and then beer hell starts exactly when Kurt from Nodding Head says, "Ray, you got to come out to this bar. You got to come here. We're going to drink this great beer." And that's when the hell becomes
right.
very real.
Yeah, Kurt is the most benign personification of Satan that I've ever met.
No, he's a great guy.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Say the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine. Plowman, dig my earth.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. That was a pretty cool interview between Ray and Bill Kovaleski from Victory. And we've got some great guests here tonight. Tom Cahoe from Yards Brewing Company, Kurt Decker from Notting Head Brewery. You guys go way back, Philly brewing and all that stuff. Let's start with Kurt. Kurt, you've got a pretty cool place that I've been to, Notting Head Brewery. What inspired you to start up?
Well, I've been into American craft beer for a long time. I ran a little beer bar in Old City called Brownie's Pub for about 10 years and was looking to break out and do something on my own. I was friends with Tom Peters and Fergie Carey from Monk's. They had had an idea about doing something in a space that was going vacant, and we had kind of held a very talented brewer around the area for the better part of a year until we could get the thing in place. And we opened up in, I guess, around Christmas of 99, and the rest was just downhill, man. The first couple of years were challenging. We're a second-floor brew pub in the center of Philadelphia. Everybody disappears like cockroaches when the light turns on as soon as a malt delivery shows up because nobody wants to carry all the malt up the steps. Physically, it's challenging, but I'll tell you, we wanted to have a brew pub in downtown Philly, and I think at that time there wasn't anything, you know. I think there should be a couple more, quite frankly, but we just felt we wanted a brewery in the city, and we were very driven to do that.
So the brew pub that you guys took over, that was a Sam Adams brew pub, wasn't it?
It was Sam Adams for 10 years. It was an extract brewery, so okay. They were brewing from malt extract. We put a full grain system in. We mill our own grain. We do everything soup to nuts there. We had to expand a few times to put some more tanks in because extract brewing takes a lot less time than grain brewing does. But, yeah, we took over Sam Adams' space. And I'll tell you, we've been in there over 11 years now. They were there 10, and we still have people come up and say, hey, isn't this the old Sam Adams? And it's like, come on, man.
What kind of beers do you have there? And I was there last spring. Like your lineup tonight, do you know roughly what styles of beer you have?
Well, we try and cover, you know, a nice well-rounded gamut of flavor profiles. We always have a couple of what we would call our core beers on, which would be, you know, we have usually a yellow fizzy beer, although it's a full flavored beer. Right now in the fall, that's usually 700 level. And we've got an American Pale BPA.
700 level? What,
yeah,
is that?
that's named after the old Upper Deck of the Vet. So
the Vet?
It's
what's,
yeah,
the Vet?
The Vet was Veteran Stadium, where the great unwashed rolled
Philly
around.
Lore.
Yeah, they roamed
Philly
around
lore.
The 700 level. That was
this is a baseball thing.
It was Eagles and Phillies.
Right. Okay.
Now they tore that down. It's now a parking lot. But, you know, now we've got a black IPA on. We've got a little bit of that here if you guys want to taste that. We've got,
yeah, let's do it. Let's pour it. Let's check it out.
We've got a beer called Rudy's Kung Fu Grip that we're pouring now. That's about an 11-12% Belgian hybrid. It's a Belgian strong ale. We've got, you know, seasonally we go through a lot of different things. You know, summer we sell a ton of Berliner Weiss. And we sell wintertime Sled Wreckers, our big seasonal. That's our winter ale.
Sled Wrecker?
Yep.
That's a great name.
Yeah, the Berliner Weiss is good. It's really refreshing.
Yeah, thanks. Well, yeah. That beer has done a world of stuff for us because I'd love to think that we kind of saved that style. Especially in the U.S. I mean, they've gotten down in Berlin at this point. They're down to two or three breweries that still brew that beer. We've been doing that beer for over 10 years. And at the time, You know, a couple people had dabbled with it in the U.S., but no one really threw themselves into it. We've done it consistently. To at one point, we were the largest manufacturer of Berliner Weiss outside of Berlin. And we're a seven-barrel brew pub in Philly. I mean, we do about 50 barrels of that in a summer and sell it pint by pint. We don't sell outside the pub. But to go through 100 halves of that in a summer by the pint in our little pub.
Very impressive.
Yeah, that's pretty good, man. So now a bunch of people are doing Berliners. And I, if when this is all done and Notting Head either is or isn't around anymore, if I look around and you can go into a pub in the summer in almost any big city in the country and get a Berliner Weiss, I'll be a happy guy because I love that style of beer.
So what do we drink around here? This is a black IPA.
Yeah, it's Marauder.
So it's a black India Pale Ale.
You know, I'm not much of one for that style name. I mean, you could call it a hoppy black beer. You can call it whatever you want. I don't know. I think this year they are going to have a black IPA category at the GABF.
But wouldn't it be an India Black Ale?
You know, does that make any sense? I call it a hoppy black ale.
That makes more sense than calling it a black IPA.
I don't know what they're going to end up calling it. I think black IPA is kind of stupid. We just decided everybody's doing one. Let's do one. Ours will be pretty damn good.
Well, this is pretty good. I mean, and it's not a heavy duty beer. It's a really drinkable beer.
Yeah, it's drinkable, but it's
how strong is it?
It's pushing 8. Mm. It's about 7.5%.
Oh dear,
you can't taste it.
No, you can't.
That's nice beer. And we got Tom Kehoe from Yards Brewing. Tom, Yards, everybody's heard of Yards. If you've never been there, where is it?
We're on North Delaware Avenue, right in the Northern Liberty section of Philadelphia.
And what inspired you to get involved in the brewing, brew pub business? Were you the wrestler? Was that your story?
Yeah, yeah.
Some story about the wrestlers that drank beer. Was that you?
Yeah, we were definitely a couple wrestlers that enjoyed drinking good beer. And we actually had like a little varsity beer club that we started. And the next thing you know, we're making beer and a beer in our dorm rooms. And ever after that, started working for a British Brewing Company down in Maryland. And, you know, volunteered a lot of time down there, you know, worked there for a little bit. And this is what we want to do. We want to make beer. So we got back up to Philadelphia, where we're from, right outside of Philadelphia, and started, you know, with a 3-barrel system and making cask ales. That's all we started out doing.
Now, I remember when I was out there when you guys first started. I was brought out there. I think Tom Peters brought me out there.
Yep.
And it was like in the backyard of like a suburban house.
Yeah.
Like in somebody's backyard. Is that where the name Yards comes from?
Actually, Yards comes from more like a Scotland Yard. You know,
okay.
Like an English ale, English name that, you know, would be industrial at the same time.
But you guys are totally in the suburbs.
No. We were in the Manyunk section right then.
Well, from the East Village, it seemed like the suburbs.
Yeah, exactly. We call it the Polish Alps in Philadelphia. But
Polish Alps.
So who is this Tom Peters? I mean, I know who he is. He owns a Monk Cafe.
He's nobody you want to know, Jimmy.
But his name keeps coming up.
He's the true benign Satan, I'll tell you that.
he's a prominent Philadelphia beer deity, I guess we would call him, in the sense that, you know, he's involved in everything. Every beer that comes out, he's going to try. He's going to give you his opinion. And luckily, we were all in his good graces. So
so he gives the thumbs up. If he doesn't like your beer, you fail?
That's right.
Is that how it works?
Used to go from him to Michael Jackson. Now it goes from him to Sam Calagione. So I don't know.
Whoa.
No, it really does not. Tom's also probably almost single-handedly responsible for most of the Belgian beer that's in the U.S. right now.
He goes
over there and he just browbeats people in breweries in Belgium to get them to ship their beer to the U.S.
I can't argue with that. He definitely is a proponent for Belgian beer in America and has been for years and years and years.
Ray, tell us the Tom Peters story. I know you've known him for years.
Yeah, you know, I have known him for years, and all the stories that I have about Tom, I cannot tell you on the radio.
How about a general beer theme story, like
okay,
the first time you met him? How about that?
It usually involves the first time I met Tom, he was running a bar in Philadelphia called
Copa 2,
right. And I went down there. DBA was a brand new bar. We went down there, and he was one of the most generous, wonderful guys. He's like, oh, DBA, I love you guys. Like, how did he hear about us? I have no idea. But he knew who we were, and he treated us like kings. And free food, free drinks. so generous. And then I found out that he didn't own the place. So it's like, oh, that makes a lot of sense now. But now that was our first meeting was at the Copatou, and we've been friends ever since. And I see Tom more in Belgium and in England and in Arizona and around the country than I actually see him in Philadelphia or New York. And he's a great friend, and he's a lunatic.
And so, which guys in the Philly beer scene started the Craft Beer Week?
Well, Jim Anderson was a part of that, wasn't he?
No, not Beer Week. Although, no. If you ask him,
that's how we think of Philly now. The Philly Craft Beer Week's inspired New York Craft Beer Week, which is inspiring Chicago Craft Beer Week. Do you guys appreciate it? I mean, does it mean anything to you, the Philly Craft Beer Week?
Absolutely. Realistically, Philly Craft
Beer Week. You're supposed to get excited. You're supposed to say, yeah, Philly Craft Beer Week.
We love it. I'm tired thinking about it.
Well, it really started from we were doing a Book and the Cook event every year in Philadelphia where Michael Jackson would come in. He would have a big he would do a couple beer dinners. There'd be a couple events designed around him coming into town and doing a big event at the University of Pennsylvania Museum. And you know, we lost Michael Jackson. So we kind of wanted to keep something going that would be sort of like, you know, it's like, hey, it was great to have all these things come around one big event. And the idea for Philly Beer Week started from the absence of, you know, having Michael Jackson, you know, and have beer events around the fact that he's in town. Because he would bring other people into town, and then those other people would have beer dinners, you know, alongside and at different places, you know, than Michael Jackson would have his beer dinner. So the idea was we sat down and we're just like, let's make a whole week of having beer events and having a great time and having, you know, just promoting beer in general. And it didn't really mean that, you know, we were just feeling it out. And it just sort of took over like a whole body of its own. It's like, yeah, these guys are doing beer dinners. These guys are doing beer tastings. These guys are doing a clown act, you know.
Yeah, there's a dunk tank.
We had a sumo wrestling exhibition, one bar owner versus a brewer, you know. Things like that are just, you know.
Whoa. Hold on, guys. So you actually had a tank, and it was a brewer versus a bar owner?
No, there was a dunk tank. And usually it was the name of the event was called Dunk the Douche, and it was usually a.
Yeah, go ahead.
It was usually a, you know, beer salesman, or somebody that was like, this guy is so. That you needed to, you know, needed to dunk them.
So yeah, so like you threw softballs at him or something. How did that work?
And so it was your basic. You know, you get up in your little bathing suit and you go up there and you heckle him and you try to throw the softball at the dunk tank and then.
And Michael Jackson sat on this thing?
No, this is the new stuff that we're
doing.
This
is how they honored their hero. This is Michael how we Jackson. Honored. Yeah.
Well, that's good.
But I'm sure he would have.
He would have in a heartbeat.
Yeah, with a tie on.
So okay, so but you said something about bar owners versus brewers.
Yeah. That was another event we did. Where you know one of the bar owners got dressed up in a sumo outfit and a brewery owner got dressed up in a sumo outfit and they went at it.
I love this. Are you still doing this stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Every year, it's almost like a competition to see who can come up and outdo what they've done the year before. And I think we almost have – there were almost 700 events last year.
So when is Philly Beer Week coming up?
June 3rd to the 12th this year.
So we get
kicks off first, on a Friday night and runs through the following Sunday.
And I got to tell people out there in listener world, if you're going to go down there, book your hotels soon because – They sell out for Philly Beer Week. I had a hard time finding a hotel when I was
and
like a week
book
outside.
A hotel and come down for a couple days because you will not be disappointed, man. There are just amazing events. It's a who's who of brewers from across the country and Europe that show up for Philly Beer Week. I mean, I think that separates us from some of the other beer weeks around the country.
Absolutely,
it's just the star power that we get there. It's amazing.
Jimmy, wouldn't it be great if we had like a hotel sponsor that we could say so? Book your room and hotel. In Philadelphia,
yeah, I think we would love to go to Philly Craft Beer Week this year.
We need a hotel sponsor.
Oh yeah, Tom Peters.
No. I'm thinking Sheraton. I'm thinking, you know, something. You know, big hotel chain. I think that's what we need to get hooked up to the show.
Not, you know, but this has been pretty cool. You guys are pretty awesome. There's also another guest here, Sean McCain, who's the New York area rep for Victory. Is that your official title?
I'm actually called the guy in the dump tank. Yes.
All right. So we never hear about all the fun stuff that goes on in Philly. You just try to sell us the beer.
No, I'm the New York and Connecticut sales manager.
Did you bring any beer today?
Of course, I brought six beers.
What did you bring? Let's try some of your beers.
All right. Well,
what did you think? I'm going to cut you off. What did you think of listening to Bill Kovaletsky on the interview? Is there anything you learned about him?
I learn something about Bill every time I listen to him. Don't we all?
He's pretty amazing. I must have met him five times before I knew that his affiliation with Victory. He was just like there in the beer scene, and you know.
Well, he's a great brewer. He's a great boss, but he's a great mentor as well. I mean, he's been doing it for, like, you guys have known him probably a heck of a lot longer than I have.
He's a golf pro, a great private pilot.
He's got a 9 under par, pretty good. Yeah, it's a great brewery to work for. That's for sure. Some of the beers that I have, since we have this delicious double dark IPA that you're drinking. Victory has one out right now called Yakima Glory.
Can we try some?
Why don't we do a little side by side? See what they taste like.
We're going to pour out the Yakima Glory, the black IPA, and we'll take a short break, and we'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio.
Sitting in a park in Paris, France, reading the news, and it sure looks bad. They won't give peace a chance. That was just a dream some of us had. Still a lot of lines to see, but I wouldn't want to stay here. It's too old and cold and settled in its ways here. Oh, but California, California, coming home. I'm gonna see the folks I dig. I'll even kiss a sunset peak. California, I'm coming home. I met a redneck on a Grecian Isle who did the goat dance very well. He gave me back my smile, but he kept my camera to sell. Oh, the rogue, the red, red rogue. He cooked good omelets and stews, and I might have stayed on with him there, but my heart cried out for you. California, oh, California.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. There's a special message about Heritage Radio Network. Each week, Heritage Radio Network brings you over 20 shows featuring some of the most innovative voices in sustainable culture today. From Cooking Issues with Dave Arnold to We Dig Plants to Beer Sessions Radio, Heritage Radio Network shows are made possible by our generous sponsors and from listeners like you. So go to www.heritageradionetwork.com and click donate and keep this show going. Also, thank you to greatbrewers.com, our sponsor. Well, we've got some great guests here, and a couple questions that have come in is there's Dawn from Manhattan, who works at Sherry Lehman Wine. She sent in an email question, and it's, can you compare West Coast IPAs versus Philadelphia lagers? It's a very broad and unusual question.
That's a crazy question.
I think it applies to can you compare the Philadelphia scene to the, I think she means to say, can you compare the Philadelphia beer scene to the West Coast scene? I think that Tom wants to answer that one. That was a really bad question.
Yeah, it really typifies the difference between California brewers and East Coast brewers. East Coast brewers are going to brew a lager that is going to be genuine. It's going to be really true to style. It's going to be really good and refreshing. The West Coast guys are going to go over the edge every time, like they do with almost all their beers. They're going over the edge with the hops. They're going over the edge with everything. They're beautiful beers. They just went somewhere that the beer wasn't intended to go, but you know what? They're making it great.
But I want to interrupt one second. Victory Prima Pils, one of the great lagers.
Awesome beer.
But it is a bit over the top compared to European lagers. I'm trying to think.
It's a hoppy pils.
It's a very hoppy pils. I'm thinking that like the Prima Pils lager is more of a, almost like a West Coast beer. And what West Coast lagers are out there? I don't know. I'm sure there are ones.
You
I'm not thinking of them.
Don't dare Tommy Arthur to brew a beer because that dude will then kick everybody's butt at GABF with some like mild or Pilsner or something because he's got that little round robin of brew pubs and all these amazing brewers working independently of all of them. And it seems that lately some of these West Coast guys –
are stepping their game up, and they're going out to prove to all of us that, hey, we can brew a low-gravity beer with a bunch of flavor. We can We can brew lagers and pilsners and things that, you know, a couple of years ago it would have been much easier to just say, they can't do a beer, they can't do a low-alcohol beer, they can't do a beer with any real elegance. But those days are over, I think.
And I'm glad.
Yeah, me too.
Well, to go back to what Ray was saying about Prima being associated with being a West Coast style, just because it has some amount of aggressive hops, I don't think that's fair. I think that it's true. A lot of people do call it, I've heard it called a light IPA, because it does have that brightness that's with it. You do get some essence of grapefruit, even though I don't know. There are only noble hops, you know, that we put in it. But I think really it's the balance that makes Prima. It just tips a little bit over the edge, whereas I think in the West Coast, you're generally seeing a little bit way more aggressive approach to it than you would get with the Prima, because the Prima is still crisp. It's still a German Pilsner. When you drink the middle of that beer, it is crisp, it is clean, it's dry at the end, and it just has a little bit more of a bitter bite than perhaps the traditional
Victor,
Pilsner does.
Are you more of a German-style specialist?
That's what the brewery is, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then tell us more about your special line of Braumeister Pils and Harvest Pils.
We have the Braumeister Pils series that we do something annually where about five different recipes will go out every year. Right now we have a Schwartz Pils, which is out in the marketplace, which Jimmy's 43 and DBA, both Brooklyn and Manhattan, should be pouring because it's good. It's real good.
We'll be there.
And then next month or 2 months from now, we'll probably do something with a different hop variety. We try to focus on a single hop variety to really show off what that hop can do with an unfiltered Pilsner. This particular one just happens to be a short style for the winter months. But yeah, we have a lot of seasonals. I think something that Bill mentioned in his early recording is that, you know, he's a brewer. He wants to be able to have lots of seasonals, lots of different things. He's a brewmaster. It's exciting to him. But the director and sales of him wants to sort of sharpen it down a little bit to give a little bit more focus. And as a salesman, I have to say, I agree with the latter half. I like the first part because I like to drink beer, but man, we have so many great beers in our catalog that I just want to make sure that I can get enough supply for you guys to be able to pour at your fine establishments.
I agree. I want you to have beer to sell me.
I do. I will. We will.
So Tommy from Yards, right? So your beer available in New York City?
It is not available as of yet in New York City.
Where is it available? Where can we get your beer?
Right now we are only Philadelphia and the western half of Pennsylvania and Pittsburgh, and a small distributor in Northern Virginia and New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Yes.
So New Jersey has your beer.
Yes.
And New York doesn't.
I know.
My God.
It is something we just increased our capacity by 50%.
We got to fix that time.
We're making moves to get bigger, to the point where we want to enter this market. We're really happy to grow, and you know, right now we're selling everything we can. Most of it's in Philadelphia, but we want to share the love.
Now, you make great beer over there, and I'd love to see it in town. I'd love to see it in this market.
Yep,
we want. Tommy, so tell us a couple of other favorite beers that you guys make.
One we do is our Brawler, which is we call it a pugilist style ale because you can have more than one. It's like something you go a lot of rounds with. It's a dark mild. It does really, really easy drinking beer. And the rest is we have an IPA, which is a nice, strong, assertive IPA. We do our Ales of the Revolution, which is a Thomas Jefferson ale that has a real great malt character, made with a little bit of honey, and it's really nice. We have all those three we're going to try tonight, so...
Hey Kurt, what do you think of Tommy's beers?
Oh, I love Tommy's beers. I Yards ESA to me is single handedly responsible for the rebirth of Philadelphia beer. I mean, 95, I think is the first time you brewed 95.
Yep,
that first came out. I remember being at a craft beer festival in Philly, which was kind of crazy for that time for them to do. Somebody put on a festival. I go to this thing, and there was just a buzz in this whole civic center about, you got to try this beer, you got to try this beer. And I go over, and there are these guys, man, and they're pouring cask beer on a beer engine at a festival. which I had never seen anywhere in the U.S. before, somebody pouring
cask beer. What year is this?
95. Mm-hmm. And that beer was so ridiculously good that that's all anybody could talk about for the whole day. And after that, I mean, that just made people want to start brewing beer in Philadelphia again. Next thing you know, there were beer engines in bars all over the city. I mean, it was a great thing.
That was about 3 weeks before we actually came out to sell beer to the public. Mm-hmm. We rushed the beer right for that event, and it turned out awesome.
Well, I can't wait till it's available in the city so we can serve some of your beer to our customers.
I can't wait either.
So, Tom, why did you guys just not go for like just being a brewery or just open a bar? Is that a Philly thing, you know, having a brew pub in between the two?
We kind of wanted to see where the beer was going to take us. We started off with a very small brew house, 3.5 barrels, and was making cask ale. And that drove us to the next level of making more craft beer. We weren't restaurateurs. We didn't want anything to do with that part of the business. And we just kind of grew as a brewery. We had some stumbling blocks along the way, you know, some choices which, you know, we've, you know, overcome. And now we have a much larger facility, and we're production capacity right now is going to be a little better than 20,000 barrels. So we're getting there. And that's the next journey.
That's pretty awesome.
20,000 barrels.
Yep.
So, yeah, get some of that shit up to New York City, man.
That's what I got to do.
It's all about the controlled growth, though.
Yeah.
You start in your backyard and you build out in a tiny little circle. And the last thing you want to do is you put in beer somewhere where you can't control it. You know, you want to keep your regular people happy first.
One of my thoughts was, even though if we're getting, you know, stronger in our home market and growing more in our home market, it's only going to help our sales when we get into New York.
Of course.
To be that much stronger. So.
And Kurt, what about for Naughty Head?
Oh man, we don't sell beer down the stairs. We sell beer on the second floor of 1516 Sansom Street, downtown Philly, pint by pint. Stronger beers, not even pints. So we do under 1,000 barrels a year. We've thought about production sometimes, and you know, we took a shot once, got snagged in a real estate deal with some zoning and something, and just never have pushed it. I mean, we were all kind of restaurant people to begin with, and bar people. And just really loved good beer. And then our brewery, we consider ourselves a brewery and a restaurant, not a brew pub, because that brewery is self-contained. And it's, we think we make brewery quality beer. We don't make, I don't want to besmirch a lot of brew pubs or any of those chain places. But you have to either get to a very good size or you have to do what we do and get the margin that you get on the pints. Because in the middle, man, it's a fight. And Tom will tell you, it's a fight. I mean, you get up to where a Victory is, they can start paying their bills and not worrying about it. And you get to where Sam at Dogfish is or Kim Jordan out at, you know, they're brewing a ton of beer at New Belgium. You get there, now all of a sudden, you're making some money, you're paying your bills, you're not sweating every day. But production breweries are hard. They are really hard. And it's hard to make it doing that. It's a lot easier to sell beer at $5 a pint or whatever it is than to try and sell your kegs for $100 or, you know, whatever you're selling them to your wholesaler for. I mean, it's no joke, man. These guys are doing a great job and they're growing and it's nice to see, but there are a lot of places that never get over that hurdle of the 10,000 barrels or the 8,000 barrels, and they never get up there.
So you have no plans to expand into other markets?
You're
going to stay up there on the second floor?
I don't know. Right now, yes. Until we can find somebody that's crazy enough to maybe help us brew some beer. I talked to Adam Avery. He's afraid. I want him to do our Berliner Weiss and put it in 12-ounce cans out in Boulder. He loves the beer so much, and he's at capacity, and he's growing.
Maybe we could take the Royal Stumble on a roadshow.
That's what we could do, and we could use that to finance the new brewery. That'd be
awesome. Okay, one last question before we close out. Okay, each one of you, let's go through the room. Tell me, it's Philly Craft Beer Week. It's June 3rd to 12th this year, 2011. Pick your favorite bar that you're going to stop at in Philly. Ray.
Oh, Monk's. No question about it.
Sean McCain from Victory.
I'm going to the Victory Brew Pub in Downingtown, Pennsylvania.
Company man.
Tom from Yards.
I'm going to be everywhere, but the one bar that I'm definitely going to go to will be Bridget's, right down the street from my house.
All right.
Because that's where I end up every night.
And Kurt, when you're not at Nodding Head, where are you going to go?
I will definitely be at the Memphis Tap Room up in Fishtown.
All right. And I'm going down to Devil's Den. I had a good time there. They had a still water from Maryland on cast that night. That's pretty cool.
Kurt, are they still going to do the... at the conclusion of Philly Beer Week, are they going to have the karaoke at Fergie's?
That's the sad plan.
I'll be there for that.
I know you will.
So no matter what, you're going to probably see Ray down there for Philly Beer Week, but maybe he'll get a hotel room on the house. You can call Ray at, what's your number? BeerSessions@gmail.com. Tonight, the Pony Bar is hosting Boulder Brewing Company. There's some Good Beer Seal Bar events. Tomorrow night, Standings is having their Wild Wednesday Winterfest. Sean McCain is going to be representing Victory Brewing at East Coast versus West Coast beer events at Sunswick and the Pony Bar coming up soon. And we've got a real special toast to make tonight. Our producer, Bree O'Connor, did a great job with the show, putting together the Philly beer scene. We really like that. I'd like to thank our sponsors at greatbrewers.com. Thank you to the Good Beer Seal, goodbeerseal.com. Thanks to Ray, Bill Kovaleski, Sean, Tom, and Kurt for joining me on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni, and thanks to Jack Inslee, producer. See you next time on Beer Sessions Radio.
The fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel.